Hi, everybody. This is Scott Sad. Just returned from a family getaway. Was much needed. Now I'm back. So I wanted to maybe just catch up on a few things that have transpired since I was away. Some of these issues I managed to weigh in on even when I was away on a family vacation. And so I thought I would provide a little synopsis of a few of the stories that tweaked my interest. And the first one is the Don Lemon show, which was supposed to be airing on X. His first guest was Elon Musk, and as some of you know by now, Don Lemon started with all of his sort of usual woke progressive accusations to Elon, which Elon didn't appreciate. I can understand it. Elon's time is valuable. You have a chance to have a conversation with someone who is a great entrepreneur, a great mind, and instead you waste this wonderful opportunity in doing your usual woke stuff. Imagine all of the incredible things that you could discuss with Elon. Hey, tell me about your love of books. What are some of the attributes that you think any entrepreneur must possess? Give me a typical day in Elon world. You wake up and you do what? Are you someone who's very scheduled, or do you just kind of free flow across different interests? There's an endless number of things, and of course, I certainly do hope that I will have the opportunity to hold one, if not more, chats with Elon at some point. And so I saw how, when a mind is parasitized, as is the case with Don Lemon, he can't help but, do his usual shtick. And then when Elon gets upset and says, "Okay, well, we're done," then people say, "Oh, what a hypocrite Elon is! He's supposed to be the defender of free speech." He didn't violate Don Lemon's freedom of speech. I mean, even there was an X tweet that said, "Hey, we're happy to host the show on this platform." That doesn't mean that Elon needs to enter into any business dealings with people whom he finds detestable. I don't mean to put words in Elon's mouth, but certainly when I see Don Lemon, he strikes me as just this grotesque schmuck. And so what a wasted opportunity from this imbecile Don Lemon. Story number two, I posted a tweet that got a lot of people angry, upset. Here it is. Can you name 10 historical Palestinians from, say, the past 200 years and their areas of excellence? Now, what do you think I meant by this tweet? What I'm basically arguing is that there is no such thing as a Palestinian nation that has historical contiguity. There is a Palestinian flag for hundreds of years, a Palestinian identity, a Palestinian national anthem, a Palestinian soccer team. Palestinians are a hodgepodge of other Arabs. Now, I'm not going to rehash the history of the area known as Palestine, but my point was that there isn't a historical contiguity when it comes to a nationhood of merit. That where people are Palestinians 100 years ago, 200 years ago, that have done great things. This now some people, "Oh, you're dehumanizing them." No, I'm doing no such thing. Every single person who is an innocent person who's just going about their business in life deserves to live a dignified life, whether they are Palestinians or Israelis or anyone else. The point that I was trying to make there is that there is no historical Palestinian people with a actual documented history of, say, excellence in medicine or art or literature or poetry. Now, some people got upset because then what they argue is, "Oh, but here's a person who's a professor at University of Madison who's a Palestinian American." That's not what I'm talking about. Right? If you say, "Do Hungarians have a history of excellence in poetry, in folkloric dance, in art, in architecture," then you could say yes, because there is a peoples called Hungarian. So the only point of my tweet was to make that point. It was a statement about the historical provenance of a Palestinian people, right? That doesn't mean that I'm trying to, quote, justify a genocide. It doesn't mean I'm trying to dehumanize. It is exactly that. And yet, of course, people go completely wacko. It is impossible to imagine the level of duplicity, hysteria, insults, accusations that come your way. Anything I say, I put out another tweet where I listed, you know, I could weigh in on anything. I weigh in on how gorgeous the goal of Messi was, and then someone says, that shows you you're a genocide enabler because at least you can enjoy Messi, whereas the Gazan people can enjoy Messi because they're avoiding a genocide. If I say, here's a photo, you know, I love that my children are so happy on our vacation. Oh yeah, well, you could take a vacation, but the Gazans can't take a vacation. So anything that I say is proof that apparently I am complicit in the, quote, genocide of Palestinians. And then I put up a tweet, some of you may have seen it, where I said, how is it that I live in Canada, right? I've only been to Israel 3 times in my life. So I am directly complicit in the, quote, you know, killing of Gazans, because apparently nothing has happened that would justify why Israel would attack Gaza. But I am directly complicit in the genocide of Palestine. There's been nearly 37 million Gazans killed, of which 33 million are children. And you better take those values, those figures, as veridical, because only the Zionists lie. There is no such thing as October 7th. It didn't happen. It's an exaggeration. It didn't happen. And if it did, only 3 people were killed. And that was justified. And there were no rapes. And there were no children killed when it came to the October 7th attack. But there's been nearly 937 million Gazans killed since I started this clip. And that has to be taken at face value because Hamas would not lie. So this is the kind of insanity that you're dealing with. So I then said, okay, well, if I am personally responsible, if every Jew is responsible for what's happening in Gaza today, how come it is not okay to blame all Muslims for the 44,000 plus terror attacks since 9/11 alone in nearly 70 countries, right? Well, I would say, of course, not all Muslims are to blame, right? You can't blame an entire group of people because of the action of some of the people, right? So why is it that I grant that courtesy to Muslims, but when it comes to the other way, every Jew is complicit in what is happening in the in Gaza? And it goes on and on and on. Let me reiterate. I support Israel. Not even because I have family there, not even because I'm Jewish, because I'm actually looking at it from a greater universal principles perspective, which is, which type of society should we model ourselves after? I'm not saying Israeli society is perfect, but you have Israeli society or you have Gazan society, or at least the ideological foundations that shape Gazan society. And I will put my chips in support of Israeli society. So if I am gay, I'd much rather live in Tel Aviv than to live in Gaza, right? If I am a religious minority, I'd rather live in Israel than to live in Gaza. And so therefore, if I were a Martian coming from another planet, and I'm saying there are 2 models by which societies are organized, which one is the one that is more consistent with the flourishing of liberties and freedoms and individual dignity? Surely any sensible person would think, well, Israeli society is certainly much better. 20% of Israelis are Muslim. They serve in the Knesset, in the parliament, where they actually speak in a very, oftentimes in an anti-Israel manner, and yet it's tolerated. There are high judges that are Muslim. There are people in the IDF that are Muslim. There are valedictorians of universities that are Muslim. Does that happen in Gaza? Does that happen in any Islamic society? So again, until October 7th happened, you can go to my Twitter feed. You won't see many mentions of Israel in the last 14 years that I've been on social media, 14, 15 years, whatever it is. The reason why I now weigh in as much as I do is because, yes, something did happen. October 7th did happen. I did have to feverishly call all of my family to try to see if anybody in my family had been killed and raped. So there is that. But it's not a personal. My positions are not informed by personal tribalism. They're informed via a set of adherence to deontological principles. Israel is a much better model of how a society should be organized than Gaza will ever be. Okay, that's the bottom line. And that has nothing to do with the quote occupation, right? It's Hamas that decides to spend the money the way that they do. It's the Gazans that vote Hamas in power. It's the Ministry of Education that teaches their children that the highest goal is to one day kill all Jews. No, not Zionists, Jews. And so therefore, of course, whether I am Jewish or not, I'm not going to be in favor of that society. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't innumerable Palestinians who are lovely. I have had many Palestinian friends in my life, many of whom are actually fans of my work. So this has nothing to do with genocide and complicit in genocide and all this kind of nonsense. It has to do with, do you support societies that enshrine the liberal values that define the Western tradition or not? And therefore, to the extent that Israel is much closer to that model than is Gaza, then I am going to be in support of that society. And that would hold true whether I'm Jewish, whether I'm Muslim, whether I am an atheist, whether I'm transgender, whether I'm tall or short. Have a good weekend, everybody. Cheers. Good to be back.